Still me, John Hanson, in for the Wintrust Business Lunch. Got a lot of great stories to get to today. For years, Google.com has been the most entered thing on the bar. You can tell I know a lot about computers on your browser window. But there's a new champion, what.com, not what, I'm asking you, what.com has overtaken Google.com. That was the most confusing tease I've ever read. And nonfiction books. There is one theme in nonfiction books that reigned supreme in 2021. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Haley Boyd across the glass with us. Connor's still here, too. John Hanson in your hosting chair, and we got a lot to get to, so let's get to it. Nick Lichtenberg joins us. He's the deputy editor of economy at insider.com. Nick, thanks for hopping on with us here today.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Let's talk jobless claims, because we got a number that was stable. And I guess stable is good for right now. We don't know if it'll hold, but we're okay with this, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a real split in a bunch of the data we look at. You know, the unemployment figure is one number, but then the inflation is a separate and very high number. And the inflation has been going up recently, but the unemployment number is very good. So a stable unemployment figure, that's some good news in a pretty crazy economic ride we've had this year.
And for maybe the first time that I've seen, boy, the expectations were right in line. You don't always see that sometimes.
I know. They hit it right on the mark. 205,000 is what the economists across the range of all the banks estimated, and that's exactly where the number came in.
Well, they can all pat themselves on the back for getting this one right, exactly right. Nick, is the concern the next couple of weeks and into the next month as we start to see this wave play out?
Yeah, that's the big concern, because, you know, a lot of this data is backward-looking, and so what we're getting is jobless claims were last week. A lot of the reports we get are from the last month or so. And so a lot of the data we're getting is from November and really early December, and that is before this sudden huge spike in the Omicron wave came. And that could really just change all the economic data for weeks and months afterward.
Might a higher jobless claim number in the coming weeks portend to a worse unemployment number the following months? And it, like, the jobless claim gives us the immediate pulse, I guess you could say?
Yeah, I mean, I do think, like, based on a lot of the other reporting we've done and a lot of the other evidence that's out there, is that another giant lockdown is not coming with this wave, mm-hmm. and another big depression in spending and in layoffs. We don't think that's going to come. So it'll be a pretty muted response, but it is possible. Anything's possible.
I love this article you did about the 10 nonfiction books from 2021, unpacking America's obsession with what?
Well, yeah, I was pretty. Thank you so much, first of all. But yeah, as I read these books, more and more of them had this theme of just what does the word freedom mean, anyways, and mm-hmm. what does it mean to Americans? And you know, we were locked down a lot of last year because of this virus and this pandemic, and then we all got our freedom back once the vaccines came on the market. And I was pretty shocked as I kept reading. All these books were grappling with, what does freedom actually mean to us, anyways?
Yeah, and one you have mentioned even has the word free in it, the free world, wildland you listed, Reign of Terror. We only got about 30 seconds left. Is there one specifically that you'd recommend if people are interested in one of these topics?
Yeah, I didn't rank my list, but I thought The Free World by Louis Menand is a great book. He's a New Yorker writer, Harvard professor. It's all about culture during the Cold War, 50s and 60s. And how it was all about marketing freedom to the rest of the developed world. And it really was in contrast with the USSR back then. And this commodification of freedom is just a fascinating argument he lays out.
Right. And, you know, when we say the word freedom, I think a lot of people go to constitutional freedom, which, of course, is important. But we're talking about freedom, as you mentioned, where to work, the great resignation, whether you want to have kids or not, the plummeting birth rates, where to go, what to see. It's interesting. It's a really cool read. And, Nick, I wish we had more time to break it on down, but people can go to businessinsider.com to find out more, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, Nick Lichtenberg doing great work at insider.com. Christmas is upon us, friends. Even if your shopping isn't done, there's still time to make someone's holiday bright. Tens of thousands in the Chicago area still struggling financially from the pandemic, of course. These families often have to decide between paying rent and buying groceries. they would tell you going without is even harder at the holidays. This is why WGN Radio has joined forces with the Salvation Army to ensure that hope marches on for our neighbors in need. Your monthly or one-time donation will provide gifts for children who would otherwise go without. Feed hungry neighbors, keep families in their home, and provide hope to someone in your community who is struggling. Click the large donate button at salarmychicago.org/WGN Radio or find the John Williams Kettle at WGNradio.com. Your help this Christmas is more important than ever. Ensure that hope marches on for our neighbors. Please help. See the kettle at WGNradio.com. I was so moved at the donation drive, the radiothon, whatever you want to call it, they did last week. John did a fantastic job hosting that. And all of you did a fantastic job with those big donations. It's great to listen to and great for our community. Hey, let's talk to Bree Fowler from CNET. She does great work there as a senior writer. Bree, thanks for hopping on with us. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a weird time. The holidays are, we're getting a lot more cancellations than I think a lot of people would have thought of, including some big name events. This is big.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been crazy. Everything from conferences to the NHL are taking a break right now, just because of COVID.
Do you think that some of these, it's almost like an avalanche maybe isn't the best analogy, but as soon as the dam broke and one major conference canceled, does that start putting pressure on other big events and conferences to follow suit, lest they seem unsympathetic to what's happening?
Yeah, definitely the optics are bad if you're going forward with events involving thousands of people these days. The main thing we're kind of looking at now is the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. That's coming up in the first week of January. And so far, they still say they're a go. But we're seeing big names like Meta and TikTok and Twitter all pulling out for safety reasons.
Yeah. And that concerns me because I'm not going to CES, but I was going to go to Vegas in early January. So I'm waiting to see what they do to let me know if I should be doing that. I think I know my answer to that. Okay, speaking of traveling for the holidays, you know, I think a lot of people don't want to carry around their vax card. They're afraid they're going to lose it. Some people just take a picture of it and think that will suffice. That's not always the case. Where can people go to digitally upload their vaccine in a way that restaurants, bars, different places are going to accept that as a viewed passport?
You know, a lot of states have their own apps right now, which businesses will take in place of a paper card. I mean, my paper card is about to disintegrate at this point. And I also have two kids, which, you know, it's always between my husband and I who has which kid's card. So, you know, these apps can be super helpful and super useful.
Is it just a matter of going to the site's website to figure out what might be the specific thing? Are there general apps that are just good and maybe not universally accepted, but a good thing to upload it to anyways?
You know, it depends on your state. There are different apps and different web portals for each of them. Here in New York, we have two options. We have the Excelsior Pass and, you know, New York City has their own COVID safe app.
That's nice. In Illinois, I see that residents can use Vax Verify, which uses Experian for identity verification. I mean, it's got to be fairly easy if everyone's going to be able to do it, because trust me, I sometimes stare at these apps. I have no idea what to do, but I'm sure they make it at least somewhat easy for you.
You know, and as a backup, too, you should just keep a copy on your phone. You know, not everyone will take a photo of a vaccine card. A lot of places will, though, if you have an ID to go with it.
Right.
You know, and if you're worried about privacy, I have mine stored in a secret file folder on my phone. So it's not easily accessible if someone were to get my phone, but it is there if I need.
That makes sense. Hey, I was talking about Google.com being, the number one, the top domain name or the top thing you type in the browser and go there. But we have a new champion of 2021.
Yeah, TikTok is now the most popular domain out there. I mean, it's really surprising, too, because Google, you know, they've had such a stranglehold on this. I mean, Google, that's what people use to search, and maps and all these different functions that are really useful for a lot of people. But you know, my kids probably rack up a ton more time on TikTok just by themselves.
Yeah, for sure. Tell you what, Bree, we're having a little phone connection. I'm going to actually put you on hold for a second, see if we can reconnect just a little bit better there. But yeah, TikTok.com took the number one. I'm reading through the list here. Google.com is another one. Facebook.com. I mean, all the ones you'd expect. Microsoft.com, Apple.com, Amazon, Netflix, YouTube, Twitter, and WhatsApp. They are all our top 10 in terms of where people go for what. Going to try and reconnect. Bree, I hope things are a little bit more clear. Now, I have a dumb question about domain names, because most people use TikTok as an app. So does that count if I open up the app? Does that register as accessing some domain somewhere and help contribute to those stats?
Yeah, I mean, apps are definitely facilitators of that. So if you're on the app, it's same thing with Facebook and Twitter. There actually are domains kind of buried in there.
Ah, perfect. Sounds good. And you sound great right now. Let's talk about holiday shopping scams. What should we be watching out for?
Well, as the cybersecurity reporter, this is definitely my kind of thing. And while I'm hoping everyone has their online shopping done at this point, you're probably looking for holiday shipping notifications.
Yep.
And you really have to be careful with these because it's a popular scam for fishermen. People that are trying to get you to click on a link or download an attachment that might put malware on your computer. And they look a lot like those FedEx and UPS shipping notifications complete with barcodes. So if you have any kind of concerns about the authenticity of an email, you know, just copy and paste that shipping notification number into the website directly, and you won't have to worry about that so much.
I tell you what, I got an email that said they were from Walmart, and they said your order is delayed. I don't know what it was. I knew they were wrong because I didn't order anything from Walmart. But I tell you what, with all the stuff I have ordered online, if they had gotten the name of the store that I ordered from correctly, I don't know. I might have clicked on that thing.
Right. And, you know, millions of people have ordered from Walmart. And they don't need you to click on it. They just need one out of a million people to click on it. So, you know, these are mass attacks, millions and millions of emails. It really doesn't matter if 99% of the people don't click on it. They're still making money off of it.
Right. And they don't care if you delete it. They're not caught and no one cares. Okay. In terms of checking our credit card statements, are there any hints that you have for us about how often we should be doing it or how many cards we should be using around the holidays?
Well, I prefer to use just one credit card for the holidays if I can do it. I mean, it helps you keep track of fraud potentially, but also your spending as well. If you can keep things to one credit card and to one email account, it's just a lot easier to organize everything.
Yeah. You know what? This isn't necessarily a scam. Maybe you know something about this. You know, I've ordered stuff that I've seen on Instagram because it looks really cool, and then it takes like 2 months to get there, and it's not at all what it says it was or what it looked like. I bet you hear a lot of that from folks.
Sure. And you know what? Social media is definitely a popular way for cyber attackers to get at your stuff. People know not to trust email these days, but if they see something on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, they might think it's legitimate. You know, if you think an ad is, you know, too good to be true, it probably is. Again, you know, go directly to the retailer's website and see if you can get the deal there.
Last question I have for you is about VPNs, about keeping your identity private or what you're browsing. Anytime I hear one of my friends mention that they're using a VPN, they're usually my friend that is very computer savvy and knows what that is. And I think a lot of people know what VPNs now are a little bit more from work from home because they like can log on to another computer somewhere else. Is there like a 30-second tutorial you could give us on a VPN and whether the average consumer or average internet user should maybe consider using one?
Well, VPNs, or they're called virtual private networks, what they do is they mask your location and then they scramble the data that's going back and forth from your computer. And that way, if someone were to intercept that data, it would be useless to them. Now, I tend to think, though, that VPNs, I mean, in a corporate setting, we're all used to using them for work when we log in from home. But, you know, with the rise of encryption, pretty much any site that's doing business is encrypting your traffic anyway. And the hacker hiding in the coffee shop that, you know, is trying to intercept your traffic is also kind of a myth these days. So
okay.
I tend to think that VPNs are overkill for most people.
Okay.
And the problem with VPNs, too, is that, you know, you don't know what they're doing with your data.
Right. That's true. Exactly. And that's just another level of confusion. All right. Well, then good. I don't want to get one because I didn't really know what it was anyways. Bree Fowler, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Great stuff at CNET. They do great work there. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Hey, everyone. John Hansen in for John Williams just for a little bit longer. By the way, Ryan Burrow, our great news guy, came in here and he let me know we were talking about where to upload your vaccination information for. And the folks at CNET had a few suggestions. He led me to the Vax Verify on IDPH, Illinois Department of Public Health. Go to idphportal.illinois.gov, idphportal.illinois.gov. Let me tell you what, it looked actually really sleek. It can pull the information from where you're vaccinated. They've got most of it. Maybe you have to connect the dots here or there. But then he showed me his card and stuff that's on his phone. It looks good. It has the vaccination dates on there. There's a little QR code, I guess, if anyone needed to scan it to get more. Well, I don't know how it works, but it looked easy and sleek. He said it was simple. So idphportal.illinois.gov. So everybody do that. Hey, coming up. Oh, go ahead. You got something, Jordan?
No, I was just going to say I can confirm it's really not that hard to do because Lauren and Ryan helped me do this yesterday. It took me 5 minutes.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
And you have no idea how to use a telephone. So I'm just kidding, Jordan.
Zero idea.
Jordan Bernfield doing a great job in the news. Elise Glink's in next for Anna DeVellante's 1 to 4. But I decided to have her come on in a little bit earlier to help us out. How are you doing, Elise?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I have a couple questions for you. And I think that as we are now in this period, it's a weird time, right? Like, I think individually we may feel fine about where we are, vax boosted, all that. The world, these numbers are getting huge in Illinois.
Oh, yeah. They're scary, right?
They're scary. Mm-hmm. They're metrics that are very frightening. Then when you break it down, it's maybe a lot of people getting tested before they go home for the holiday. It's a lot of people. The hospitalizations have ticked up, but maybe not too much yet. We'll have to wait and see. From an economic perspective, what would be the canary in the coal mine? Which is what Elise told me to say beforehand. She gave me the phrase. I was like, that's a good one. What would be that canary in the coal mine economically that, something is wrong, that we are not, that this is really going to have an effect on our global economy and our country's economy?
You know, John, I think it's interesting. I think we would start to see businesses shut down again. You know, it's one thing for Google and companies to say, stay working from home.
Yeah.
It's quite another thing, you know, and even we saw CNN do that the other day. They shut down. Atlanta is sending a lot of different people home, but they're still working.
Mm-hmm.
It's when restaurants start shutting down, when hotels start shutting down. Those are the kinds of things that really worry me because, you know, restaurants that have already shut down two or three times, they may not come back again.
Right. So even a temporary shutdown is, of course, a concern like it was in March of 2020.
It is. And I don't see the government shutting things down. I mean, around the world, you see governments resisting this. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be dragged back to that. They know there's a lot of public opposition to it. People are trying to make a living. They don't want to actually have to raise money and start giving money again. That's unpopular with some parts of the countries. So they're trying to just keep everything open, but as safe as they can be. But I think individual companies themselves are worried about their people, and they may not have enough people, and so they're shutting down.
Right. And, you know, there's already this gigantic labor shortage. And when you talk to restaurant owners, and I've talked to a few that have decided to close down for the holiday, it's not this fear of their restaurant's going to be the site of a mass outbreak. Of course, there's concerns about that and mitigation efforts in place. It's literally my cook has COVID.
Yeah.
He or she is doing fine, but they can't be here. It's already exacerbating the problem, which is bad, but maybe portends to a shorter term problem than what we had earlier.
Yeah. It's a different thing, you know, to see how, you know, if nobody can cook and nobody can serve, it's really hard to have a restaurant open. And I think we've dealt with that, you know, all the way down the line, and people are really concerned about it. You know, you walk into a grocery store, things just feel less staffed than they might normally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a surprise to me. I've been in a few restaurants, not without some trepidation, going to one tonight, hoping it's going to be there. but, you know, you go in and it's a surprise now when the service is what you would expect in a normal restaurant, right? Normal. I'm so used to just not having anybody around. There's one person waiting 42 tables.
Scanning your QR code and giving them a wave when you need them, which makes sense.
Yeah. Exactly. So to me, that would be a big concern. But I'm not seeing that right now. Yeah. I'm seeing consumer confidence numbers go up. To your point, there does seem to be a dichotomy between how we feel about our own money, which especially if you're invested in the stock market, you're thinking things are great.
Mm-hmm.
It's near an all-time high. Maybe it's touched that again today. We'll talk about that on Anna's show in a few minutes. But more to the point, it's if you're worried about maybe what's going to happen with your company, you might be worried about losing your job, even in this high growth, high employment,
right.
You know, everybody looking for people, you might still be worried about that, and that might make you nervous.
Yeah, I asked you to kind of square that circle, and I think you have for us the idea that when people are polled, how do you feel about our general economy, generally speaking, bad. How do you feel about your personal life, your personal economy, good. Maybe it is, hey, when I open up my apps, yay, everything's in the green. But as I worry in the future, that's where you take more of a macro look at what the situation is.
We're not just worried about COVID, right? I mean,
right. We've
got, if you've got kids, you're worried about climate change,
yeah.
Right? What does that mean? Now, I actually think we in Chicago, we should all feel good. Like, as far as I can tell, we're going to be the center of the universe.
Right.
Not near an ocean.
Right.
We're not devoid of water. We're going to be okay for a while. And
yeah. Winter
seems delayed.
Right.
Not bad.
Yes.
But for everybody else in the world, you know, climate change is a big issue. I think the political polarization is a big issue. Not understanding how the world is going to work for our kids going back to school. We're already seeing school openings delayed.
Yeah.
We haven't seen it in the city of Chicago yet, but if you've got kids going to college, it's likely, like the University of Illinois has pushed everything back a week. They want everybody tested at least twice before they show up on campus. Stanford, Harvard, Cornell, I don't even know. So many of them have just said, listen, let's just push back 2 or 3 weeks and then slowly filter back to campus, be tested, be boosted, and all will be well.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of tiptoeing through these next couple of weeks with Christmas thrown in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah, and
what
Merry
timing.
Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Anything else you want to plug on the show today?
Oh, let's see. Well, we've got Joyce Joya, who's a futurist and a good friend of mine, an author. She's going to talk about some HR trends. We're also going to talk about real estate trends with the Counselors for Real Estate. This was such an interesting list this year. I don't want to miss that.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit about my new column that I'm writing called Love, Money, and Real Estate, and where you can find that. And then don't forget, every Sunday morning at 6:30, we were talking about this Week in Wealth, which is when John Fortino and I sit around and banter about stocks and investing and how you turn all of that loot, or I should say all that equity, into something that resembles regular income in retirement.
I always feel smarter after listening to you, at least wherever you appear or write. Thinklink.com is a great place to go. We look forward to the show today, okay?
Thanks, John.
Let's get a look at the Wintrust Business Minute with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. The Ace Hotel in Chicago's Fulton Market neighborhood is being sold to a Canadian developer. Cranes reports Ani Group will buy the hotel for $63 million. The 159-room hotel is located at 311 North Morgan. Ani Group's also planning to build thousands of apartments on Goose Island and has plans to rehab an outdated Loop office building. The Goose Island development, called Halstead Point, will include more than 2,600 units in towers rising 50 stories. It's renovating the Loop building at 225 West Randolph. McDonald's is changing its media agency for the first time in 20 years. The company is moving its U.S. media account to Publicis Group Starcom from Omnicom Group-owned OMD. OMD will retain a significant portion of the local media business, which is not affected by the national media account move. Publicis already reps several other restaurants, including Chick-fil-A and Inspire Brands, the owner of Arby's and Dunkin'. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thank you, Steve. Let's say good afternoon to Mary Vandeville with a look at traffic.
And things are starting to heat up on the roads, looks like. People are getting out of work early. The outbound Kennedy is about 45 minutes now to the airport, 38 coming in. Eisenhower about 30 out to Mannheim with some delays into Des Plaines. Outbound Stevenson in the Tri-State, 36. And the Dan Ryan is looking good in Berwyn, an accident. Harlem and 18th. Also, DeSaba Lakeshore Drive southbound hits the brakes, Michigan to Chicago, and an accident northbound on the Tri-State before 31st. In the right lane. Mary Vandeval, WGN Traffic Central.
With a pulse on the markets, here's Jordan Bernfield.
Dow is up 217 points right now. The NASDAQ up 151. S&P 500 is up 33, almost 34 points now.
All right, agro markets. Let's get the golden timber of Steve Alexander.
You mentioned that kid that misspelled emancipation earlier.
Yes, in Jeopardy.
I've got a little spelling quiz for you coming up right after this. A little bit about last-minute shopping. If you are one of those last-minute shoppers, you're in luck because Mr. Fizz, our gardening guru, Jim Fizz, Giselle is here with a few gift ideas for the green thumb in your life, or maybe just somebody who hopes to have a green thumb. What's in your bag there, Santa Jim?
Well, I have a lot of things, as a matter of fact. The first thing I like to think about are small tools. These make excellent gifts, things like trowels, garden clippers, a good garden knife, and the grafting knives and pruning knives. Those are two different kinds, but either one of them are very, very useful in the garden. Make sure they're of good quality, that when you sharpen them, they stay sharp. Another thing, Jane reminds me all the time, gloves. She uses a lot of gloves in the garden, and mostly cotton garden gloves. Sometimes when I'm doing certain gardening chores, another thing, especially for people that, like I am, I get to the age where it's a little hard for me to get up and down. I like a kneeling pad. Now, this can be just kneeling pads, or they have small benches. Some of these small benches actually have wheels on them, so you can wheel them around. When you get ready to use them, you lock the wheels up so it doesn't roll around while you're using it. Another thing that people might be interested in would be a tool belt. Those of us who go out in the garden to do things, we carry the shears with us, the trowel with us, and a dandelion digger with us, and so forth. Now, you have a tendency to put these down someplace, and you have to go back and get them. A tool belt stops that, because you can put these right into the belt, and you have them at all times. Ergonomic tools, things like rakes and shovels and even a good garden hoe, where the handles are curved so that they work a lot better for people that can't bend over too well. There are all kinds of them that are available in catalogs, garden catalogs. You can actually find them online as well.
Mr. Fizz has a lot more last-minute gift ideas for the gardener in your life, and he will share those with us tomorrow morning at 5:38. From the farm to your belly today, John, is National Pfeffernusse Day. National Pfeffernusse Day. It's in honor of the German spice cookie. Extra helpings, if you can spell it, John.
Pfeffernissen?
Pfeffernusse.
P-F, am I wrong yet?
No.
Oh, P-F-E-I-N-U-S-S-U with the umlaut E-R?
Oh, you're awfully close.
Awful or awfully close?
Awfully close, John, awfully close. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. A few minutes left here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Guth time, everybody. How you doing, Amy Guth?
Hey, John, how are you? I like that, Guth time. That's a thing we should celebrate more often.
It's always Guth time, but especially here. Hey, we kind of talked about with CNET about the Consumer Electronics Show, but yeah. We didn't list off who is bailing out of this thing right now.
You know, some really big names. I'm watching this very closely because this is the Consumer Electronics Show is just huge. It kind of sets the tone for the year, right? All these humongous tech companies get together and people get to, you know, people kind of get to preview what's coming up. Where is their head right now? What are they thinking? Where are they investing? It's really huge. So right now, Lenovo has just joined T-Mobile, Amazon, and AT&T. In bailing out. So the T-Mobile part of that equation is probably the biggest news of all, because the T-Mobile CEO, Mike Sievert, he was going to deliver the keynote address for the event, and he has decided not to do so. He said they're still going to be a sponsor of the event and title sponsor of the DRL championship race, but he said that the team will not be traveling to Vegas. So they are scaling back. Right. They're still going to have a presence there, but not so much the team presence. Right. It'll be just kind of in name.
When I booked my flights to Vegas, I didn't realize I was going the exact same time as a Consumer Electronics Show. So, but now I'm thinking, should I still go? Because now it'll be more empty. Or should I take the heed of the other places and be safe? We'll have to determine that on a future day. Future Guth Time episode. We'll figure that out.
That's right. It's coming up. It's coming up soon. And the organizers say it's still on. So I'll be watching that in the days ahead just to see if they continue with that path, if other big names drop, things like that. But that's a decision to make, right? Because I imagine swaths of hotel rooms are about to become open at this time.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's talk about Rivian. Opening up a spot on the Near West Side.
Yeah, so you know, Rivian, I think we all kind of keep an eye on, because they have their factory in downstate Normal. So right. They're, I think Illinois is kind of rooting for Rivian in this way. So they had plans earlier to do a showroom in Fulton Market. They scrapped that, and they're moving now just a little bit west. So they're going to be at the northwest corner of Lake and Damon, basically about the same spot where the city is building that new Green Line station. Mm-hmm. So. You know, they're competing with Tesla. Tesla already has a lot of showrooms around. There's a few in Chicago and around the country, of course. Lucid Motors, of course, they also went public earlier this year. What's interesting about Rivian is, for a company that hasn't really started delivery of their vehicles yet, they went public And they raised nearly $11 billion. That was just a month ago. That is the largest IPO for an American company since Facebook. So a lot of eyes are on Rivian to really succeed. And there's been a lot of questions around how their showroom model kind of works. Is it going to be like Tesla? They're still saying the majority of work on the cars will be done at your house, in your driveway. Huh. So kind of like how Divvy works, like a truck comes up and they kind of work on your car, but bigger things where you need to, you know, have the car taken in, things like that. That's where this would go. But also, you know, the showroom possibility.
Yeah.
People kind of want to look and try it out and see what it's like, make sure they fit in it okay and it's comfy before they commit to buying.
I just had no idea that now we consider Fulton Market going as far west as Damon. Boy, that area has grown and changed so considerably over the last 15 years.
It's true. And, you know, there was a zoning change, time doesn't exist anymore, so it's hard to say exactly when it was. I think it was about a year ago. There was a zoning change that moved that border back to Damon, where that was, and because it was filling up. And it has been an interesting thing to watch during the pandemic, because as, say, the Loop and other areas have really struggled, you know, Michigan Avenue retail has a really high vacancy rate right now. Fulton Market, they're still major projects happening. There's still major investments happening. There's a lot really going. So it's almost like the pandemic is just kind of skipping that area. And a lot of people are still investing in Fulton Market to exactly what you said, to the extent that we're now pushing it so far west that we're, you know, at Damon and Lake and things right on the edge of Ogden and Randolph that used to be kind of low buildings and restaurants, plans for huge, very tall apartment towers, things like that going in. So it's going to look very different. I feel like every time I go by there, it looks like a totally different place.
100%.
But it's going to look even more different. I mean, it's going to keep really, really developing in the years ahead too.
Yeah, adding that Morgan Green Pink Line stop helped, I imagine, as you said, the Lake one will at Damon. I just wish we could go back in time. 11 years ago, my first apartment I rented was at Washington and Palina. Why didn't I tell myself to buy there, Amy?
Come on.
I was in the heat of it. And
you
I missed
were.
It.
Wow.
Guth wouldn't have missed it. Not on Guth time. Amy, I appreciate it. Have a good one, all right?
Thanks so much. You too.
Yeah, Amy does some great work, obviously, over there at Cranes. And really a great stuff. Daily Gist, you can get more information there for more of those stories as well. Well, hey, friends, that is going to do it for the Wintrust Business Lunch today. Hope you learned a thing or two. I know I sure did. And thanks for hanging out with me for the last few hours. John Hansen in for John Williams today.